Welcome to Between Two Wings. I am your host, Emily Norman, and today we have Justin Seams with us. He is a corporate pilot and flies a Citation Latitude and is also the host of a popular aviation podcast called Pilot to Pilot. Justin, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
Of course. So we like to kick off each episode by explaining where we're at. So if you can see, I'm currently cruised out in my Warrior over Galveston Bay. And if you're familiar with Galveston Bay, you may be thinking, why does it look so blue? Well, it's just kind of one of those beautiful VFR days where the clouds and the sun were hitting right, so it looks bluer. But if you look down the left corner, that's more of its natural color of a brown and green. Quite lovely.
Isn't Galveston Bay full of oil?
Yeah, exactly. That's why this picture is such a phenomenon. But you look like you are in an aircraft that is slightly an upgrade from mine. So tell us about it.
No, all aircraft are great. I guess from the vantage point of this, I'd be in a helicopter above the Latitude. That's the plane that I fly. And I believe this picture was taken over, it's not me actually flying, but I believe it was taken over Dulles. So this would be a Latitude landing probably on the right side, or was it one right over at Dulles.
So I have to just start off by asking, what is your favorite thing about flying the Latitude?
I would have to say the avionics. This is the first airplane I've ever flown that has a full glass cockpit. I went from a standard six pack straight into one of the coolest and most sophisticated FMSs that you can get with the G5000. And it's so easy to use once you know how to use it. And it just makes life so simple and so easy. And it's like a big video game when you're flying. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of an upgrade from my Garmin 530 and six pack that we have behind me right now. But say one day I want to go out and fly the Latitude. Tell us a little bit about your journey, you know, building time and getting to where you're at.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the 530 because part of building my time, I only flew off of 430s and 530s. I started off with aerial survey. I knew I didn't want to become a flight instructor, and it wasn't anything I have against flight instructors is I didn't think that I would make the best flight instructor. So I did everything I could to find a job that was not flight instructing to help build my time. I was able, through connections through Ohio State, I got a job with an aerial survey company up in Columbus. I flew 310s, Senecas, Aero Commanders, a 182, 206s, and I flew aerial survey for probably 600 hours until I got enough time to be competitive to fly for a single pilot IFR job. So it'd be 135 flying. I flew a Caravan and a PC-12, and I shot many, many approaches with a 430 and a 530 and a six pack. So I know where you're coming from.
And so it's interesting that you recognize that CFI route, you know, was not for you. And it's kind of a common conception that that's just what you do. You go and get your CFI after all of your other ratings. So looking back at your time building experience, what do you think was something that you learned there that really prepared you for the corporate lifestyle?
So aerial survey, I think, really set me up for my career more than being a flight instructor, because it taught me what life was like on the road. It taught me how to get a crew car, how to order fuel, how to kind of get a hotel, get to and from the hotel, the ins and outs of a corporate or fractional job that you don't learn other than having the experience. So life on the road was really familiar, was really easy for me, just because I had the background of aerial survey and freight, where it was pretty much only me, and I had to figure out how to get everything done. When it comes to freight, it was just figuring out the logistics of getting the freight there, getting a forklift, getting everything you need from the FBO to load the freight, food, coffee, whatever you need for the flight. And then it kind of transferred into where I am today and actually kind of created a love for general aviation. And it transformed my career path from going to the airlines, from staying in a corporate and fractional.
That's really funny that you're touching back on these life skills that you had to learn in aviation that are things that you don't learn in the textbook. So there's definitely a big difference between corporate flying and airlines, and you had decided to go the corporate route, but what are some of the main differences that, you know, you've noticed over the years or some considerations that you had in mind when you were making the choice?
My dad was an airline pilot. So not growing up, but when I decided to become a pilot, I kind of only thought there was the airline route. I didn't know anything else. I have to see my dad do that. And as I progressed in my career, and as I said earlier, I kind of fell in love with the general aviation side, not being in the terminal, not going through security all the time, kind of just having a one-on-one relationship with the fueler, with the catering, with the person behind the desk, whatever it may be. It was more of like an intimate relationship with aviation. That might sound weird, but it felt like it was more like you and flying, kind of how it is when you're in general aviation. And I really liked that idea rather than in the airlines, whether it's commuting or whether you have to just turn left, shut the door and go, you kind of have a little bit more freedom. You're not really, really stuck on a timeline. Like your chief pilot's not going to call you for 5 minutes late because you kind of leave whenever the passengers show up. You leave whenever the freight shows up. You have a little bit more control on the, not necessarily the freight side, but maybe on the corporate side. You have a little bit more freedom to kind of do what you want and set your own pace rather than in the airline side. And as I mentioned before, commuting is one of the worst things. I know they made it better with policies and they try to help out where they can, but it's still a realistic part of the job that's not very enjoyable. And it can make a 3-day tour or a 3-day, 3-day tour turn into a 5-day tour for commuting in the beginning and the end. Where I'm work now, they buy me a ticket on day one to the airplane and they buy me a ticket home to make sure I get home on my day, the day I'm supposed to be home.
It definitely helps to have a little bit more of organization and structure. But then another side of corporate that I know that is not always organized and structured is often you don't know where you're going to be going on your tour or it switches up last minute. Is that the kind of lifestyle that you prefer? And do you think it's something that everyone can adapt to or just from your experience?
I think I do like it. Obviously, like I said, it's just something that I have gotten used to, but going to your adapt question, I don't think everyone can adapt to it. I think that it is for certain people. I think you can make it work, but you will still get frustrated time and time again. I've seen it happen before and I've seen people get burnt out just because they have this idea. It's like, all right, cool. I have Denver overnight. My best friend lives in Denver. I'm going to call him and we're going to do this. And then as soon as you land, you're tired. They call you. All right, we need you to go to Santa Fe to get ready for tomorrow. And that kind of pressure and that kind of builds up and can create some animosity toward the company or toward the schedule that you have going on.
Yeah, I can imagine. And, you know, even if you do so quote unquote adapt, there's always going to be those days where, you know, you just wanted a little structure, or you wanted to get home and it didn't happen. And of course, it's always frustrating.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to circle back to a comment you made earlier about there's so many different jobs in aviation. Airlines isn't the only thing you can do. Corporate aviation's not the only thing you can do. And I'm sure from being a podcast host over the years, you've got to meet so many interesting people and hear about a lot of, you know, different flying jobs you may not have heard of before. What are some of the ones that, you know, you may not have known of before, you think other people may not know that they actually exist?
One person that I interviewed, Justin Zeller, he built his time by flying a fish spotting mission. So he would fly off the coast and people would go fishing and he would fly from above and see the school of fish and either radio down or mark it somehow. And then they would go and fish. So that's like a crazy way for you to either make a living or build your time. And then also they're both about water, but seaplane flying. I mean, it's just like seaplane flying is something that sounds really cool and you really want to do it, but there's no like real practical way to do it. You're never going to continue it unless that's your job, you know, or you're both playing on floats, which no one really has access to that unless that is your job.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, I didn't even think of those as flying jobs. And yeah. I'm sure in some of the comments we may get other obscure flying jobs as well that we may not have known about. So you're talking to a diverse crowd through hosting your podcast over the years. Do you think that this has had a direct or indirect impact on you bettering yourself as a pilot and growing and learning overall?
Yeah, I mean, so one thing that might shock a lot of people is obviously I have a podcast where I talk to people all the time, but I'm very much not a talker. I don't like seek conversation. I can have a conversation, but it really drains all my energy. This has kind of taught me to keep my energy going in conversation. So personally, it's really helped me with the way I talk, the way I speak, public speaking. Aviation, I've learned a lot of, not necessarily techniques, but I've learned a lot from people, life skills. I could learn a lot about stories. It's kind of broadened my horizons and really made me think about what I thought was true before, just because you talk to so many different people that come from so many different lifestyles. I've talked to people from the Middle East. I've talked to people from Europe, South Africa, all over the place. And it's just really cool to hear their different experiences and kind of hear how they do it there and see if it's better or see if it's worse. That's one of the goals that I have, is to just show people that anyone can be a pilot. Anyone can literally do that. And by showcasing, having someone see someone that looks like them be a pilot can just help them out in so many ways and make them realize that they want to do it.
Of course. Justin, thank you so much for coming on our show today. It's been so great to talk to you. If you haven't checked out Justin's podcast, Pilot to Pilot, I highly recommend you do. He's got great episodes on there, and you're definitely going to learn something for sure.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. It's been a lot of fun.
So thanks, everyone, for tuning in to this episode Between Two Wings, and we will see you next time.